Hi, everybody. Welcome to our morning devos. Welcome to the last day of March. Somehow the end of March is already here. But we're continuing on in our Lent devo series, and today's passage is Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. So Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Amen. In the verses leading up to this passage, so in the verses prior to the passage we read today, Paul makes the assertion that those who put their faith in Jesus have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And that's important to note for today's passage because Paul is continuing on in the same vein to say that we do not live according to the flesh, but rather we live by the Spirit. Now, one major distinction that Paul makes between these two things, living according to the flesh and living by the Spirit, is that one leads to death and the other leads to life. And if you're familiar at all with scripture, I'm sure you can guess which is which. This is similar to actually language we read about yesterday in Ephesians 2. Living according to the flesh leads to death. Paul doesn't really mince words here when he says that in verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. There's no way for you to really misunderstand that detail. But then he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, another way of saying, if you leave behind the ways of gratifying your own desires, the ways of ways of sin, if you do that, then you will live. It's pretty cut and dry in some ways, very black and white. Then Paul continues on to say, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So again, if you live by the Spirit, then you will live. And all who do that are considered sons of God. And to be clear, you can understand that to mean sons and daughters, essentially children of God. And it says in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Once again, we see a contrast here. We see a contrast between the spirit of slavery and the spirit of adoption as sons, as children of God. The spirit of slavery leads us into fear, or more precisely, back into fear. But the spirit of adoption, which we have received, allows us to call out to God, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Well, Paul says that the spirit of slavery leads us to fear, and the spirit of adoption does the opposite. It leads us into security and peace. It gives us the security, the confidence even, to call God our Father. Or that word Abba carries this connotation of something more intimate. You know, you could maybe consider it same as calling him your dad. There's a personal intimacy here. Now, let me use an illustration to try to explain how significant this is. Over the last couple of years, as much of the world shifted to remote work and Zoom calls, we've also seen a number of highly public and also highly entertaining videos of kids walking into the room while their mom or dad was in the middle of a Zoom meeting. I'm sure some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Personally, I've seen a bunch of these videos. I find them very entertaining, where a parent is being interviewed on live TV, maybe about the COVID-19 virus, conflicts in various parts of the world, or other various serious stuff. And suddenly, in the middle of this interview, a little kid will pop up, maybe into the background, or sometimes just right in front, into the picture, blissfully unaware and unashamed about interrupting their mom or their dad. To the viewer, this person on TV that's being interviewed is an important figure, maybe a renowned doctor, an expert on international relations, or a well-informed news correspondent. But to these children, well, that's mom, or that's dad. Now, of course, there's a separate matter of whether they should or shouldn't interrupt their parent, but putting that aside for now, the reality is that these children don't have fear. They don't have any fear when approaching their mom or dad, even if mom or dad seems to be talking to other people on the computer. They are secure in that relationship. They know that this is mom, that this is dad, and I am their child. That's the kind of relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. We no longer have a spirit of fear because we are led by the Spirit of God, and therefore we are called children of God. And as children of God, we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now, I don't think many of us, including myself, have a good concept of what it means to be an heir, at least not on an experiential level. My guess is that for most of us, although our parents, our earthly parents, have cared for and provided for us in many different ways, we don't have an inheritance waiting for us one day. But with our Heavenly Father, it says that we are to receive an inheritance. As heirs of God, we will receive all that is His. That's a very profound and deep thing to wrap your mind around, and not something that I think we have the time to look into with enough nuance and detail, but as it says here, we are heirs of God. So in a general sense, again, that means that we will inherit all that is God's, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. That's what we see in the rest of this passage. Now, of course, some of you could be thinking, of course, I knew there was a catch. I have to suffer in order to get this inheritance. I have to earn this inheritance. Well, if that's where your mind went, whether you meant for it to or not, let's hit the brakes and reel it back in. Because our status as children of God, and therefore as heirs and inheritors of God and His promises, is not something we earn. We saw this laid out very clearly in our passage yesterday in Ephesians 2. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not our own doing, but it is a gift from God. So the suffering described here isn't about putting in your hours to earn this right. We are children, and just by virtue of being God's children, we are inheritors. And so the suffering here isn't about earning this inheritance in any way. Having said that, part of being children of God entails suffering. We looked at a passage last week in Matthew 16 where Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus doesn't explicitly use the word suffer here, but he doesn't really have to. Following Jesus, receiving this identity as a child of God and life as co-heirs with Christ, means denying yourself, taking up the cross, and losing your life for the sake of Christ. Now, of course, it wouldn't surprise me if part of us doesn't really like this idea. We don't like the idea of denying ourselves. But I just want to remind us today, to assure us in some ways, that that passage in Matthew 16, and our passage today in Matthew 8, or Romans 8, shows us that what we receive in return is so worth it. What we receive in turn, what we receive when we choose to do this, deny ourselves and follow Jesus, is so worth it. Again, we get to be called children of God, who can live in the peace and security of our Heavenly Father. We are heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, inheritors of all that is God's. And so, yes, we may suffer. We may go through hardship. In fact, we will, in various forms. But we will also be glorified with Him. And so today, let's continue to live by the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of slavery or fear. Because no, adoption into God's family won't always be easy, but this is the way to life. Let's continue to lean into this identity. See our God as not just a distant, powerful God, but as our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, and know that we are His children and rest in the security of that. Let's become increasingly secure in the reality that we are loved by Him, that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. We are cared for by our God. So with that, let me pray to close out this time today. Lord God, we thank You that we get to be called children of God. Thank You that we get to rest securely in this identity. Lord, the other way, this spirit of following our flesh, it's spirit of sin is death. It's fear. But Lord, in the life that we have with you, that fear is no longer present, but we are secure in our identity, secure in knowing that we are loved by you, our Heavenly Father, and that we are your children. And so, Lord, help us to walk in this, Lord. And yes, this identity as children of God won't be a cakewalk. It won't always be exactly, easy all the time. But Father, we know that this suffering will lead to your glory and that we will be glorified with you. That this is part of what it means to be a child of God, but it is so worth it. Because it is the way to life. And so, Lord, help us to hold on to this during this Lenten season. Help us to continue to go deeper into this identity as children and as heirs with Christ. Thank you for this word today. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.